Good morning. This is Neil Strausser with the CBS World News Roundup. First, there was Abscam, the FBI undercover probe that resulted in unofficial accusations against several members of Congress. Now we hear in various published accounts this morning of another sting operation dubbed Bribe Lab for bribery labor, which may have snared politicians and reputed crime figures in Louisiana, Texas, and Oklahoma. Gary Mihalik of CBS affiliate WWL in New Orleans has the Louisiana story.
It started out as an investigation of organized crime links to union insurance plans, but FBI agents turned up much more than that. In Louisiana, Governor Edwin Edwards, the lieutenant governor, the state's public service commissioner, and reputed mob chieftain Carlos Marcello reportedly made deals with undercover federal agents who posed as insurance executives. The FBI man offered kickbacks amounting to tens of thousands of dollars in return for landing more expensive health insurance policies using the mob's muscle or a politician's influence. Agents reportedly collected evidence with court-approved wiretaps and videotape surveillance. Head of the FBI, William Webster, was briefed daily on the operations, which started in August. Sources say the case against Governor Edwin Edwards is weak. He's leaving office in only a month. Other sources report the lieutenant governor and public service commissioner received $10,000 for helping the supposedly crooked insurance men. And according to an article in this morning's Los Angeles Times, the unions involved are the Teamsters, pipefitters, and longshoremen. Gary Mihalik for CBS News, New Orleans.
Included in the published accounts are allegations that the Speaker of the Texas House of Representatives accepted a $10,000 bribe. He denies it. The Washington Post says today that the U.S. House of Representatives, in a change of course, has been fighting a secret court battle and has lost thus far in an effort to resist federal grand jury subpoenas for House personnel records. The Post says the grand jury action grew out of a criminal investigation of Democratic Congressman Charles Wilson of California. Wilson was reprimanded by the House in 1978 for accepting money from South Korean businessman Tongson Park. The House and Senate next week are to receive President Carter's formal proposal to revive draft registration, but most indications appear to point to acceptance of only half of what Mr. Carter proposes. The Congress may vote the money to register young men, but registration of women has gained little support on Capitol Hill. As the Winter Olympics approach in Lake Placid, New York, Secretary of State Cyrus Vance today is preparing to push the U.S. case for a change or boycott of the Summer Olympics in Moscow. Marvin Kalb reports from the State Department.
Secretary Vance flies to Lake Placid today to put the American case directly before the International Olympic Committee. He has been given 7.5 minutes for his presentation. He will argue that it is necessary, in light of the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan, to postpone the Summer Olympics or to move them from Moscow to another location or to cancel them this year. Officials here say that 48 countries around the world support the American position. Of those, only 23 say so publicly, however. Whether that is enough public support to get the IOC to agree with the American position is not clear at this time. The IOC itself reluctant to go along with Washington for fear of politicizing the Olympics beyond recognition or repair. While the administration has some sympathy for this view, it feels Russia must be made to pay a price for Afghanistan. Vance will host a reception this evening for members of the IOC and then return to Washington tomorrow. Marvin Kalb, CBS News, the State Department.
According to a Japanese news service today, the Soviet ambassador to Japan says that Russia could withdraw its troops from Afghanistan in the near future, unless, he says, the U.S. and China try to escalate the situation. Conflicting signals today from Iran. Foreign Minister Gopazadeh has joined the criticism of the militants holding the U.S. embassy, saying force might be necessary if they resist a takeover by the Iranian government. But a son of Ayatollah Khomeini, who visited some of the hostages, repeated the demands for the return of the Shah and his wealth. The story behind the closing of New Zealand's embassy in Tehran is coming out. Ken Williams reports from Auckland.
The New Zealand government has confirmed that it did assist in the recent escape from Iran of 6 American diplomats. The 4 men and 2 women had been caught outside the United States embassy when it was taken over in November. And after hiding out at the Canadian embassy, they were spirited out of the country posing as Canadians. The abrupt closure of the New Zealand embassy in Tehran raised the question of how closely were New Zealand diplomats involved in the escape. Very closely. Abandoning an earlier non-committal stance, New Zealand Prime Minister Robert Muldoon now admits that New Zealand helped the Canadian embassy in engineering the escape. The details of the affair may not be known for some time, but Mr. Muldoon says New Zealand knew what was happening and it assisted the escape where it could. Mr. Muldoon's change of attitude on the matter may be the result of the news that a lucrative trade deal in sheep meats between New Zealand and Iran is unlikely to be affected by the latest turn of events. This is Ken Williams for CBS News, Auckland, New Zealand.
This is the 98th day of captivity for the Americans held in the U.S. Embassy. The road to election in Rhodesia has been far from smooth, and the latest pothole appears to be the arrest of a former white leader. Robin Wright reports from Salisbury.
Rhodesian police have confirmed that Garfield Todd, former Prime Minister of Rhodesia, was arrested this morning at his farm in Shabani. The leader of the white minority government from 1953 to 58 was charged with two violations under the Law and Order Maintenance Act, one for assisting guerrillas, the second for failing to report the presence of guerrillas in his area. A former Methodist missionary, Todd's political career took a dramatic turn after he left office. He became increasingly radical and an outspoken critic of former Prime Minister Ian Smith. In 1972, Todd was issued a restriction order, which confined him to his 50,000-acre farm and cut off all communication with the outside world. The ban was lifted in 1976. Although the ceasefire took effect last month, there are estimated to be about 4,400 guerrillas still waging war in Rhodesia. The Patriotic Front insurgents are particularly strong in the Shabani area. Todd, 72 years old, appeared in court this morning. Robin Wright, CBS News, Salisbury.
Todd has now been released from custody, according to late word from Salisbury. Syria's President Assad has agreed to what he calls a few more days' delay in the pullout of Syrian peacekeeping forces from Lebanon, and it appears now that the pullout may be off indefinitely. Tomorrow is the day for the next political harbinger in this country, with Democrats gathering to vote in the caucuses in Maine. A preview from Reed Collins in Augusta, Maine.
The Maine caucuses are similar to those of Iowa. Here, 2,247 delegates will be elected tomorrow to attend a state Democratic convention in May, and from that will emerge the 22 delegates that Maine sends to the National Democratic Convention. 400 towns may begin caucusing any time from 1 to 9 p.m. Town business comes first, and then the election of the delegates. In another similarity to Iowa, President Carter leads in the pre-caucus polls, followed by Senator Kennedy, who is followed by Governor Brown. Senator Kennedy wants to avoid a bad showing in his native Northeast Territory, and hundreds of volunteers have been poured into the state. 250 cots have been rented for his people in an armory here in Augusta. Kennedy and Brown have campaigned actively here, and they'll be here again today. President Carter has sent Vice President Mondale, and most here seem to accept the president's not campaigning. Republicans held a straw poll back in November in which Bush narrowly edged Baker. The actual Republican caucuses are taking place over a long period of time and are going virtually unnoticed. Reed Collins, CBS News, Augusta, Maine.
Despite 5 hours of testimony yesterday by Treasury Secretary G. William Miller, some members of the Senate Banking Committee remain unconvinced. So reports Robert Shackney.
Banking Committee Chairman William Proxmire, a Democrat, and three Senate Republicans, Dole, Garn, and Lugar, have announced they'll petition for the appointment of a special prosecutor in the case of Treasury Secretary Miller. If the senators win support in the Judiciary Committee, the Attorney General will then have 30 days to respond to the request. Yesterday, Proxmire said he found it hard to believe Miller's testimony before the Banking Committee. The secretary insisted that when he was the chairman of the Textron Corporation, he had not known his subordinates were making improper payments overseas. Miller stuck to that position in a full day of questioning. And with the exception of Proxmire, committee Democrats said they believed him. Stevenson of Illinois said the Securities and Exchange Commission had provided no evidence that Miller was not telling the truth. Regal of Michigan said the hearings amounted to an unfair show trial of the Treasury Secretary. But Proxmire and the committee Republicans remained unconvinced, arguing that only a special prosecutor could untangle the case. Robert Shackney, CBS News, Washington.
A minor earthquake woke some residents of the California communities of Long Beach, Lakewood, and Los Alamitos early today. It measured 2.9 in the Richter scale. No reports of damage.
CBS News, there are very few of them, but the rush for them is on. The Democratic Presidential Convention delegates from Maine. I'm David Jackson reporting on the CBS Radio Network. It is the next step in the selection process, beginning tomorrow with the main Democratic caucuses. Candidates Kennedy and Brown are putting in full days today to drum up support. President Carter's surrogate is Vice President Mondale. Young Joe Kennedy this morning gave a pep talk to his people, brought into Augusta for the fight. Reed Collins has the story.
Just think, if you didn't get a good night's sleep last night in this armory, think of what it's going to be like sleeping in an armory in the Persian Gulf for the next few years. But the give you a little inspiration to get out there and work on it.
Joe Kennedy Jr. is leading a band of volunteers for his uncle's cause in the Maine caucuses. More than 100 young people spent the night on cots in the Augusta National Guard Armory and began a door-to-door canvass today, urging Democrats to attend the caucuses tomorrow and attempt to reverse the Carter tide running heavily against the rocky coast of Maine.
The headquarters have gone out and tried to do their part, but really in the last couple of days of the campaign, what it really comes down to is people like yourself.
Reed Collins, CBS News, Augusta, Maine.
Senator Kennedy is trying to avoid a big loss in his down east backyard. Candidate Jerry Brown says he's been working hard, too. He predicts that his finish will surprise a lot of people who've been reading opinion polls which show him running a distant third. We'll have more news after this.
Hi, Pat Summerall for True Value Hardware Stores. The walls in your home affect the total look of a room just like a frame affects the total look of a painting. To achieve the most pleasing effect, you need to choose the right color and the right paint. And TrueTest Satin Hue Flat Wall Finish produces a soft, velvety glow that complements any decor. Plus, it's available in 44 colors. Right now, during President's Day paint value, Satin Hue is just $9.97 a gallon. For a more economical finish, True Value Hardware Stores suggest TrueTest Select Flat Wall Finish. Select Interior Latex produces a rich, flat finish that requires just one coat on most surfaces. And because it's a latex, it dries quickly and cleans up in soapy water. And right now, Select Latex is just $6.97 a gallon until February the 17th, only at participating True Value Hardware Stores and Home Centers. And save gas. You won't have to drive far for your hardware and houseware needs. If you're looking for value, service, and selection, you'll find them nearby at any one of the more than 5,000 True Value Hardware Stores and Home Centers, and they're located nationwide.
White House correspondent Robert Pierpoint quotes high Carter administration officials as saying the U.S. expects the Soviet Union to make a cosmetic withdrawal of some of its troops from Afghanistan soon, perhaps before President Carter's February 20th deadline for total withdrawal if the Russians want to avoid a possible U.S. boycott of the Moscow Olympics. The Russian move into Afghanistan gets an airing in Lake Placid, New York later today, site of the Winter Olympic Games. Secretary of State Vance is scheduled to present U.S. arguments for moving the Summer Games out of Moscow or canceling them altogether. He's been given 7.5 minutes to address the International Olympic Committee meeting in Placid. The U.S. side is not expected to garner much support. IOC leaders are on record as saying any move from Moscow is impossible. A Kuwaiti newspaper today says most Persian Gulf nations are against a boycott of the Moscow Games, no matter what the Soviets do. But one of the most powerful Gulf nations, Saudi Arabia, has already said it's not sending a team to the Soviet capital to protest the Afghan affair. Iran's new president, Bani Sadra, today said he's ready to improve Soviet-Iranian relations, but he adds a caution, saying Moscow must stop any action which might annoy some of its neighbors. The State Department yesterday expressed concern over Soviet troop movements on the Soviet-Iranian border. Egyptian newspaper headlines this morning are talking of a new plan for Israeli withdrawal from the Sinai, one that would see complete Israeli withdrawal in a year, 1 year ahead of schedule. But it is an Egyptian plan, and sources say the Israelis will get a look at it later this month when defense ministers meet in Tel Aviv. But with talk of new peace plans, there too is talk of new modern military aid to Egypt. One semi-official Cairo paper says a U.S. decision to sell F-15s to Egypt may come from the White House next week. F-15s are some of the most advanced jets in the air now. Israel has them, strongly objects to Egypt getting them too. More news after this.
Helen, don't buy that pain reliever.
Why not? They're all the same.
Check the labels.
Okay, 2 tablets of regular Tylenol, 650 milligrams.
Check the other pain relievers, too.
Bayer, 650 milligrams. Buffering, 650 milligrams. Anacin, oh, 800 milligrams. I didn't know Anacin had more pain reliever.
That's what makes Anacin different. More pain reliever and a special combination of medical ingredients.
I'm switching to Anacin.
Get the Anacin difference. Use only as directed.
Discover quality. And discover big savings, too, with Ben Franklin's Item of the Month. During February, save on easy-to-finish latch hook kits with the revolutionary new pick-and-latch system. Each kit to make a 20 by 27-inch rug or wall hanging is just $7 at participating Ben Franklin stores.
Discover Ben Franklin, where quality is right at home.
In Orlando, Florida, a jury that convicted Theodore Bundy of murdering a 12-year-old girl reconvened this morning to decide whether Bundy should get the electric chair or life in prison for that crime. The only defense witness, Bundy's fiancée, Carol Boone, said she does not believe in the death penalty, and from the witness stand, she asked Bundy to marry her. Bundy decreed them married. David Jackson, CBS News. CBS News, Iranian militants at the U.S. Embassy call in foreign reporters to say it again. No freedom for the hostages until the Shah is returned. I'm David Jackson reporting on the CBS Radio Network. It was the militants' first news conference in more than 2 months, and it came after Ayatollah Khomeini's son visited the compound this morning. The militants claim they still have a mandate from Khomeini to stand firm on demands for the return to Iran of the deposed Shah and his wealth. But Khomeini in recent days has appeared to give his blessing to the new Iranian government and its efforts to end the hostage crisis. President Bani Sadr today said the Revolutionary Council is still debating the issue. He calls the debate a step to change the equation between Iran and the West. And whatever the council's decision, Bani Sadr says, it will be implemented immediately. Khomeini apparently has recovered sufficiently from heart trouble to leave the Tehran hospital, at least briefly. Iran's official news agency says the imam will attend an outdoor ceremony Monday in Tehran's Liberty Square, weather permitting. He'll be accepting a salute from the military, an army march-by marking the first anniversary of Iran's Islamic Revolution. U.S. officials say Iran may be the next focus of Soviet activity. That story in a minute.
Arkwright Boston, a most unusual insurance company, wants you to consider this. Right now, your company could be sitting on top of a time bomb, one that could blow you right out of business. Because today's complex centralized boiler and machinery equipment is more vulnerable than ever to the effects of improper maintenance and operating procedures. In fact, last year alone, time ran out for hundreds of U.S. corporations. The costs in terms of damaged equipment, downtime, and lost revenue came to hundreds of millions of dollars. As one of America's largest loss prevention insurers, Arkwright Boston is out to defuse this situation. Our engineers make periodic, detailed inspections of our insured's boiler and machinery equipment. And, through the Factory Mutual Resource Center, we provide educational materials for proper maintenance and operations. In fact, no one can do more to stop boiler and machinery losses than we can. Arkwright Boston. We do it better because we do it right.
High-level Carter administration officials say they expect the Soviet Union to stage a token cosmetic withdrawal of troops from Afghanistan in the near future. The idea, they say, is to blunt world criticism of the Afghan intervention and undercut what support there is for the U.S. Olympics boycott call. After such a show withdrawal, the officials say, they figure Iran is next in line for Soviet aggression, not in the form of an outright invasion right away, rather political subversion to undermine the instability in Iran. Iran's foreign ministry today confirmed U.S. reports of unusual Soviet troop activities along the Soviet-Iranian border. And Iran says the Kremlin actions are an attempt to silence Iran's criticism of the Afghan intervention. But the Kremlin is having none of it, saying reports of Soviet activity near Iran are just a part of a U.S. slander campaign. Egypt says Soviet moves in the region support Cairo's demands for some top-flight U.S. military aid, which, according to one report, is in the works. Doug Sager has the story.
Cairo's semi-official daily Akbar El Yom says Egypt may soon get American F-15 Eagles. The government-controlled paper says Egyptian Vice President Hosni Mubarak asked President Carter for the planes last month when the two met in Washington. According to the Cairo Daily, President Carter will make his decision this week. The United States has already promised Egypt the F-16, part of a $5 billion package of sophisticated American weapons over the next 5 years. But at more than twice the price, the F-15 Eagle is the most advanced fighter in the air today. Israel has flown Eagles against Syrian MiGs over Lebanon. And reports here say the Israelis are lobbying vigorously in Washington to retain their regional monopoly. The Egyptians say they need Eagles to counter Soviet encirclement of the Gulf and the Horn of Africa. Doug Sager for CBS News, Cairo.
Public officials in Louisiana, Texas, Oklahoma, and Arizona are now being linked to kickbacks in union insurance deals. The latest FBI sting operation being made public. In this one, FBI people posed as insurance agents and again reportedly got videotapes of officials on the take. Now this.
I'm the night watchman, and every night I'd watch Mr. Miles and his old ad machine working late. But lately I haven't seen either one. Mr. Miles got himself a new printing calculator, the Canon CP-1002. Has an ad machine-like keyboard, contour to help him work faster, a long-lasting ink cartridge, even underscores totals automatically. The Canon CP-1002. It's nice for Mr. Miles. Lonesome, though, for me.
One of the Canon series of printing calculators made in Costa Mesa, California.
Make some Kraft macaroni and cheese, please.
Please make some Kraft macaroni and cheese. It's nice and cheesy and it's really pretty easy. Please make some Kraft macaroni and cheese.
Some days are just made for Kraft macaroni and cheese. A rich, creamy cheese sauce you know they're gonna like.
So please, make some Kraft macaroni and cheese.
Thank you.
The captain of the Coast Guard cutter Blackthorn has refused to testify about the collision of his ship last month with an oil tanker at the mouth of Tampa Bay. At a hearing this morning, the skipper, Lieutenant Commander George Seppel, gave only his name and rank, citing military code protections against self-incrimination. David Jackson, CBS News.
CBS News. Senator Edward Kennedy battles to line up votes for tomorrow's caucuses in Maine. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. The polls show Kennedy trailing President Carter in Maine. The Massachusetts senator would like to avoid a repeat of the Iowa caucuses, where he lost badly to Mr. Carter. From Portland, Maine, Reed Collins has a report on the Kennedy effort.
On the last day before the caucuses in Maine, Senator Kennedy refused to say whether this will be the real test.
I would like to take Maine, and I'd like to do well here. I don't think it's any mystery to the American people that there hasn't been a full dialogue and discussion and debate on issues. I don't think that's any mystery. I think my candidacy will be tested truly when we do have such debate and discussion, when the Carter Doctrine, which is a unilateral statement and commitment of the United States' presence in the Persian Gulf, is really debated and discussed.
Down the road, though, the senator said finally, the true test will come in New York at the National Democratic Convention. Reed Collins, CBS News, Portland, Maine.
More news in a moment.
Oh, I thought you were a television writer.
No, I'm an orthodontist.
Oh.
But I have a terrific idea for a sort of adventure comedy show.
And that's why you came here to ABC TV?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
First, there's this likable con man.
Okay.
And he teams up with a square stockbroker who dreams of being a detective.
Hold
and
it.
And together they get into the wildest escapades you could imagine.
10-Speed and Brown Shoe.
Gesundheit.
No, we already have a show like yours called 10-Speed and Brown Shoe.
In my show, it's the casting.
It's a brand new series on Sunday nights on ABC TV.
My idea has the con man being played by, what's his name?
Ben Vereen.
Perfect. And the stockbroker is the fantastic new guy, Jeff
Goldblum.
Yes. If you could get those two guys, you'd really have a great show.
We got them.
Hmm?
They're the stars of ABC's 10 Speed and Brown Shoe.
Okay, another idea. Two teams, 11 men, just keep hitting each other on Monday nights.
Does it involve Howard Cosell?
He'd be perfect for it.
I see.
A couple of jocks.
10 Speed and Brown Shoe. Together, they make some pair. Every Sunday night at 8, 7 Central and Mountain on ABC Television.
High officials of the Carter administration said today they expect the Soviet Union to make a show of withdrawing some of their troops from Afghanistan in the near future. But they also say they expect the consolidation of their hold on that country before this happens. The officials also predict the next target of Soviet aggression will be Iran, but that will come first in the form of political subversion rather than outright invasion. The militants holding the U.S. Embassy and 50 Americans hostage in Iran told a news conference today they had a mandate from the Ayatollah Khomeini to continue holding the hostages. The militants, who've come under attack recently from Iranian President Bani Sadr, cautioned him and the ruling Revolutionary Council to follow the path of the Amim.
A spokesman reiterated Khomeini's position that the hostages should not be released until the Shah is returned to Iran. There are 16 to 20 inches of snow on the ground in Missouri as the worst storm of the winter moved across the midsection of the country. Many travelers in Missouri are finding it hard to get to where they're headed, according to Springfield Police Chief Gordon Loveland.
There were a number of travelers, both with Continental Trailways and Greyhound system, who were stranded. And originally they were in the terminals, and some of the buses were, the lines didn't move here for over 12 hours. Finally, the Red Cross set up a relief agency out of one of our local schools where they did set up cots and fed these people and bedded them down.
Deep snow also smothered parts of Kansas and Tennessee. At least five deaths have been attributed to the storm. A wealthy Northern Ireland art and coin dealer was found shot to death today, about 24 hours after he was kidnapped by gunmen who demanded $2.3 million in ransom. The victim, 55-year-old Lenny Catcher, was dragged from his home yesterday by the gunmen who bound and gagged his two sons and demanded the high ransom as they fled the home. Catcher's body was found today in a ditch alongside a road on the outskirts of Belfast. Now this.
I like pepperoni, but it doesn't like me.
Feel better fast with Digel.
With the ingredients in Digel, relief from acid indigestion and gas starts in less than a minute.
I like corned beef.
I like cabbage.
I like Frank's.
I like beans.
I like spaghetti.
And meatballs. But they don't like me.
If you like something that doesn't like you,
feel better fast with Digel.
Digel relief starts in less than a minute. For occasional use only as directed.
What sort of showing will Senator Kennedy make against President Carter this Sunday in the Maine Democratic caucuses? I'm Reed Collins, CBS News. You'll hear my reports from Maine in regular CBS News on the hour broadcast Sunday. We'll also have two special reports for you. One, look at the early trends. The other, a wrap-up of results and reaction. Listen here for CBS News coverage of Campaign 80 and the Maine Democratic caucuses this Sunday on the CBS Radio Network.
The latest victim of a crime wave in Palm Springs, California, is the former police chief. He and his wife were visiting the home of another couple when they were robbed at knife point of $2,000 in cash and jewels. One of the bandits punched Chief Robert White while others ransacked the home. White, who retired in 1978, is 58 years old. Last weekend, authorities reported 24 burglaries and 8 robberies, nearly twice the normal number for a Palm Springs weekend. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
CBS News, the administration tonight is pressing its appeal to move the Summer Olympics out of Moscow. This is Bob Schieffer reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Secretary of State Vance is leaving Washington at this hour for Lake Placid, New York. There he'll meet with officials of the International Olympic Committee. He's expected to ask the committee to move the Summer Games out of the Soviet Union or to postpone the Summer Games until next year. The administration claims to have the support of nearly 50 countries, but so far, the International Olympic Committee has indicated it will not go along with the proposal. In Washington, high administration officials say they expect the Soviet Union to make a show of withdrawing some of its troops from Afghanistan, possibly within the next few weeks. But the administration officials also say they expect Iran to be the next target of Soviet aggression and that the aggression will come in the form of political submersion. We'll have more news in a moment.
Listen, if you're an investor who's tired of being too late when investments are heading up, too late when they're heading down, listen. Barron's is the national business and financial weekly published by Dow Jones. Every week, Barron's gives its readers more useful investment information than any other publication anywhere. Days, weeks, even months ahead. Every week, 34 pages of market statistics, in-depth studies of individual companies, exclusive analyses of companies and industries covering the whole world of investing, and more. Every week, all you need to know not to be too late. Every week in Barron's. And listen, if you phone 800-228-5000, you can get a year's subscription to Barron's for just $43. Phone right now, and you'll also get free an informative booklet called Understanding Technical Forecasting that shows you how to use Barron's the way the professional investors use it. A year of Barron's plus a revealing and useful booklet for only $43. Phone 800-228-5000 toll free. Now, before it's too late.
The Iranian militants who are holding the American hostages in Tehran said today that they have a mandate from the Ayatollah Khomeini to continue holding the hostages. A spokesman for the militants insisted that the hostages will not be freed until the deposed Shahs return to Iran. Iran's new president, Bani Sadra, has taken a tough stand toward the militants, saying the Revolutionary Council will decide the fate of the hostages. Iran's foreign minister warned today that the Revolutionary Council would use force, if necessary, to make the militants comply with the government orders. On the day before the main caucuses, Vice President Walter Mondale, speaking to hundreds of members of a government employees union, today made a strong plea for unity within the Democratic Party.
Now I say, let's avoid a family fight. Let's learn our lesson. Let's deal with the real issues. Let's be honest with this president. Let's give his record a fair examination. It is progressive. Let's see a man that's showing the strength that the American people are responding to, a president that has put good people in this government working for the people of this country, including an outstanding vice president, and let's reelect him. Thank you very much.
Earlier today, addressing the same group, Senator Edward Kennedy accused the Carter administration of pursuing milquetoast economic policy. Campaigning in Maine this afternoon, Senator Kennedy said his challenge for the nomination will not be truly tested until President Carter agrees to debate the issues. The latest published polls have shown Kennedy to be the underdog going into the caucuses tomorrow. In Orlando, Florida, a jury has recommended that convicted murderer Theodore Bundy be sentenced to die in the electric chair. The same jury has found Bundy guilty of the kidnap murder of a 12-year-old girl. Sentencing was scheduled for next Tuesday. Bundy already faces two death sentences for the slaying of two Florida State University co-eds. The wife of Soviet dissident Andrei Sakharov today called on friends at home and abroad to demand the restoration of her husband's rights. The Soviet physicist was banished to the city of Gorky last month and has not been allowed any contact with outsiders. In an open letter, Sakharov's wife made a special appeal to Soviet scientists, urging them to defend Sakharov and to protect their own rights. A crackdown on political dissidents is apparently underway in Poland. Plainclothes police today arrested Henry Wolczak in a Warsaw apartment. He is the 12th Polish dissident to be arrested in the last 2 days. More after this message.
CBS Television looks to the 80s with The Chisholms, the rugged frontier family adventure starring Robert Preston and Rosemary Harris. Tonight, the journey continues as Hadley Chisholm leads his family across the burning desert. Suddenly, the O'Neill brothers ride up with deadly news.
Came riding out of the setting sun, 150 of them all painted up and yelling, killing and murdering.
The wagon train?
Everyone was killed.
The wagon master, Cooper Hawkins, arrives with a different version of the massacre, blaming the O'Neill brothers.
There was no Indians. We were set on by them murderers.
I'm going to shoot them both in the back and leave them for the buzzards.
Now, if everybody will bite their tongues and sit on their hands, we just maybe get to the bottom of this.
Who will survive? The Chisholms. Tonight at 8, 7 Central on CBS Television.
We're looking good here, looking good there, looking good everywhere.
Former President Richard Nixon left his seaside home near San Clemente, California today. He's moving into a townhouse in New York next week. En route, the Nixons are stopping in Key Biscayne, Florida to visit their longtime friend Bebe Rebozo. The San Clemente estate, where Mr. Nixon has lived for the last 5.5 years, has been sold to a group of businessmen who plan to build several homes in the area. This is Bob Schieffer, CBS News.